So I'm coming to the book of Galatians, and I'm going to read verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So the other, there's not really another gospel, it's just you perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it constrains us then to follow the word of God, to know Jesus, and let Jesus be the author and finisher of every word that is spoken and every word that is heard. Because in the finishing of it, you will become as he is, which is the whole will of God, that we would be likened unto him in all of his glory. So turn back with me then to Romans, the 6th chapter. Now, one thing for sure, let me just exhort you a little bit before we get anywhere close to just reading the Word of God tonight. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, then what you are saying in your believing is that Jesus Christ came, saved you from sin so that sin no longer has power over you. That's what you're believing. And yet we still know that, or we still question in our mind, well, how come I haven't had this experience or that experience? And we fabricate in our minds doubt when it comes to believing who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. And so when doubt enters in, what happens to faith? It's diminished. So if I doubt the word of God in myself, and because I'm a man in flesh, I have all these spirits that work in the mind that have to be overcome. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can overcome those spirits, those thoughts that hinder us from coming to the place where Jesus Christ has risen to present us before the Father. And those spirits work hard at hindering us from coming into that place. So if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, so that grace is now working, whose grace is it? It's Jesus's grace. It came from the throne of God. So if grace is now working, then how can sin work? It can't. It's not possible. And this is where we get limited. So knowing that, I'm going to start reading with verse 12 of the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. And it says this, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." So what are you not to obey? Sin. You're not to obey sin. So if I'm not to obey sin, then there has to be something that took the place of sin for me to be obedient to. And because I believe the word of God, I know that Jesus took the place of sin. That's what he did. So I'm now going to be obedient and follow Jesus Christ. How did sin enter into the world? Okay, how many men? One, Adam. So by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world. So how is then sin going to be removed? By one man, Jesus Christ's obedience to the Word of God. That's the plan. So one man brought sin into the world. One man is going to take sin out of the world. That's the will of God. It's awesome. And so if I'm in sin, what man am I in? Adam. In Adam. Isn't that who is of the earth, earthy? Isn't he the first creation of God? Was he purposed of God? Yes. Why was he purposed? What was he purposed to do? To manifest sin. To bring sin into the world. So that sin could be dealt with by the Word of God and in the end be taken out of the way so that you could become the perfect work of the Father. That's a big picture synopsis of why we believe in Jesus Christ. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why it's been given to us. That's why when we believe it and we follow it, it raises us from the dead. Isn't that awesome? So didn't that same word raise Jesus Christ from the dead? It did. And is it going to, if you believe in Jesus, is it going to raise you from the dead also? Hang on to your hats, because that is awesome. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments. Now, members, what are your members? Yeah, we used to think it was fingers, hands, toes, feet. You're the every member of your body, right? That's not it. What's your thoughts? Your members are your thoughts. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh my goodness. So now every thought, and that's why we spent several weeks in and out of the scripture of 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, right? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds through the Holy Ghost. Casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ, where the vengeance of God is fulfilled. That's awesome, isn't it? So now, aren't we now saying the same thing in the book of Romans? Isn't it leading the mind or leading the thought into the same path where Jesus Christ is Lord of all? Yes, it is. So let me establish that again in thought. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So now my thoughts are instruments of righteousness because of what? I believe in Jesus. So when Dan came, Dan spoke to you about keeping what? Keeping the sayings of Jesus. What are the sayings of Jesus? They're the thoughts of God. So if I'm keeping the sayings of Jesus, then the thoughts of God are on the forefront of my mind. Didn't God say in the book of Isaiah, and I think it's chapter 55, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways? Right? Because he's God. And none of us can think like God. We need God to teach us how to think like he thinks, and he does it through the provision of his word and his spirit. So he sent his son, the word of God, to lay out the pathway of righteousness for us, and then gave us the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, that it might lead us into perfection or lead us into all righteousness. So it's all, whose work is it then? It's all Jesus' work. It's all the work of the Father. Pretty awesome. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh. Did you hear that? So Sunday morning I dealt with the fact that, you know, we've been teaching a lot about either the troublers or name some of the others that you've been, that have been taught to you of recent weeks, right? The teller, the there's just been too many. And these are all names of spirits that work in the mind that keep us or hinder the understanding of Jesus Christ. All of them are. And you know, it's funny how when we go and we hear the description of that spirit that works, what's the first thing we say to ourselves? Oh, you know what we say? That's describing me perfectly. So what ear are you hearing with? The wrong ear. Yeah, you're not hearing it as the Son of God. Because the Son of God would hear it, and he would say what? What did Jesus say to Peter when Peter said that he wasn't going to die? Get behind me, Satan. So listen, when I hear that the troubler or the teller or all these evil spirits are working in my mind, when they present themselves, what can I say? I have been given power by Jesus Christ to cleanse or to do away with unclean spirits, so that when they arise in my mind, I say, get behind me, Satan. And I can say it with the authority of Jesus Christ, because he had given it to me because I believe in him. It's awesome. Yet we see it differently. We see those things in our minds and we go like, no, that's me. No, it's not you. You live in prophecy. You live in the spirit of prophecy. And in the spirit of prophecy, you are the Son of God. Isn't that what God has said? That's what he has said. He said it to each and every one of you, so that when sin is made manifest, you say, you get behind me, Satan, because see, Jesus is right over there, and that's where I'm headed. Remember in the Old Testament, Balak, right? And in the story of Balak, he's on his ass, literally. He's got it's a jackass, right? He's got his ass with him. And they're on the way to talk to the prophets. And this angel of the Lord stands in the way. And what does the ass do? He won't pass. And Balak wants to beat that poor thing to death. Now, I use the word ass because it's in the Bible, okay? It's in the story. So if I can't repeat it like it's in the story, then God help us all. If you're offended at that, I can't help you. Help yourself. Believe God. That's all I'm going to say. So Balak was going to beat that poor ass into submission. And what happened? What did the ass do? He spoke. And what did he say? There's an angel of the Lord, and I dare not pass. If a beast can see the angel, what's your problem? What's the problem? Yeah, we're not looking for the Word of God to come and deliver us. We're looking at something else. We're looking at another gospel, which is not another. It's a perverted word that stands in our way, that hinders us from doing the will of God. That's a troubler. That's a troubler. And trouble wreaks the mind, doesn't it? For sure. So the parables that we have in the Bible themselves are our helpmeet to get to the things that delivers the grace of God unto us and the mercy of God with the truth of God to take us into the kingdom, without a shadow of a doubt. That's why when David sinned, fell into sin, took a thought that was not of the Father. In fact, the Father said, do not number Israel. David is getting ready to go do some battle with an enemy. What did David do? He numbered Israel. What did Joab, the chief of his army, say? Don't do it. Three times. Don't do it. God said, don't do this, David. David did it anyway. What happened? A lot of people died. Not only did a lot of people die in the battle, but did 70,000 others lose their life because David went against the word of the Lord? The angel of the Lord took them. Thoughts of God in David. God spared not. And it caused David to fall upon the mercy of God. See, we think that we can do whatever we want and not pay a price for it. We think that God is so merciful that I can just go out and wreak havoc in my mind and God's just going to forgive it all and put me in a place of authority and off I go. Folks, I got to tell you, that is not true. Especially if you're in a place of authority and fall. And we've had those examples before us. What happened to the person that used to lead this organization at the very top? What happened to him? He was removed. The elders didn't have to remove him. God removed him. And I'll tell you this, basically, He fell to a place where he removed himself, knowing that it was the right thing to do. And then a day later, he realized that maybe he made a mistake. Maybe it wasn't the right thing to do. No, it was the right thing to do. And we made sure that he understood it was the right thing to do. And it was. But that's just one example. But when David numbered Israel and went against the word of God, and the angel of the Lord came and told David, what are you going to do here? And David fell on the mercy of Lord, fell on the mercy of God. Where did God set David? He went to the threshing floor of Ornan. And why did God tell him to go there? To make a sacrifice. And Ornan was going to give him all the instruments to sacrifice before the Lord. And David said, not so. My mistake, I'll pay the full price. It's on me. In other words, he was accountable to everything, every thought that he took against God. He himself was accountable to the thought that he took. Not someone else. He himself was accountable. So Ornan sold him everything he needed. David paid more than the fair price, just so you know. And who stood on the threshing floor with the sword drawn? The angel. What angel? It was Michael. The angel with the everlasting gospel on the threshing floor. Who else would stand on the threshing floor of God? What happens on the threshing floor? Yeah, they separate the wheat from the chaff, or the good from the evil, in the thoughts of the mind. So the threshing floor is what? What is it? Yeah, it's your mind. It's your mind. It's where all thought is threshed by the Holy Ghost, by the wind of God. And that which is chaff is burned up with unquenchable fire. What's the fire? It's the Word of God. So then the wind comes and blows the chaff away, so only the pure wheat, only the pure thought that is God is gathered into the garner. And David knew, as this was taking place in his mind, he knew this was indeed the house of God. God was building his house. Where was he building it? In his mind, in himself. That's where God, that's why God says you are his church. That's why God says you are the temple. Because he's building your mind by his word, changing your thoughts, and bringing them forth as the body of Christ. Isn't that how you, everyone prays that for their life, right? I don't know of anyone that's not praying that they receive the understanding of the word of God, that they stand in the place of authority, and the high priest is saying, what? Clean, unclean, clean, unclean. So that your mind knows that which is clean and your mind knows that which is unclean. And you are a discerner because of the word of God. You can discern spirits because the word of God is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Knowing that which is of God and that which is not of God. Because it's the word of truth. And Jesus, what did he say he was? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That's what Jesus said. And so these things become everything that we're becoming in the Word of God. So if we think for a moment that we're a troubler or a teller or whatever, without going into all those descriptions, and they are all true. They all are spirits that live in the mind. That's why they're being talked about. That's why they're being told to you. And how they work in the mind, you're beginning to realize, well, that describes me. Well, that describes me. Isn't it amazing how every one of them describe you? And the reason they do is because they all are familiar to you in your mind. You, when they come forth, you know exactly how they speak. But that is not you. That is why you got baptized into Christ by the Word of God. So that when those things arise, the Word of God removes them from you so that you can continue in the progression of God. That's what we read. So I'm going to let me go back up now and read to you what we read last week. Therefore, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into a death. Why did Christ die? Take away the sin. So I'm being baptized into Christ's death. Because in being baptized into his death, what's happening to my sin? It's being taken away. If I don't get baptized into his death through unbelief, what happens to my sin? It reigns in my mortal body. Therefore, we are baptized with him by baptism into death. Why? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So if I'm free from sin through being baptized into his death, then what's given to me? What took the place of sin? Life in Christ. So if I still see myself as a sinner, what happened in the translation? Yeah. I missed it. I didn't get it. And my sin is still my problem. Yeah, that's happened a lot. Every one of you have testified that that is your mindset. I have a mindset of sin. But no, you don't have a mindset. You only have a mindset of sin if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. If you believe in the gospel, sin is not your mindset. Life in Christ Jesus is your mindset. So now I have a testimony that's set in the prophecy of Jesus Christ. So that when I open up my mouth to speak, I don't have to speak about my sin. I get to speak from the basis of the prophecy that came to overthrow my sin, release me from it, that I might reign with Jesus Christ in the glory of the Father. Now that is the work of Jesus Christ in you. You can't do that for yourself. You are not capable of overcoming sin in the flesh. It hasn't been given to you to perform that work. Even the angels tried it. That's what we read when we went to the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Remember that 2 weeks ago? They thought that they had enough word in them to do the work of Jesus Christ in the earth. And so they tried it. What happened? Did they defile the earth? That's what they did. It wasn't given to them to do it. They heard the Father tell that to Jesus and give him that authority to do it. And they became jealous in their minds. So we got this. We're like God. We can go do this. They took thoughts against God. So if I take thoughts against God, am I not going to be like those angels? Am I not being like those angels? And I'm defiling the earth. My world is being defiled by the thoughts that I take. And we don't look at it that way. We look at it like it's something other than who I am as a person. And it's not. So what I say is what I do. That's the truth. That's why Jesus said there are no idle words. Every word spoken has power to change your world. Every word. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, am I not a follower of Jesus Christ? I am, because he is the word of God. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, now, if we have been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, and if I've been planted in the likeness of his death, what's my mindset now? What's my mindset? Has there been a change in mindset? What is it? What happened? Why did he die? So my mindset is my sin has been taken away. I don't possess it anymore. I am now free from sin. Wow. We don't get that part of it. Yeah, we think we got to do something, which is unbelief, just so you know. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So if I'm in the likeness of his resurrection, then now all of a sudden everything's new, right? If I'm in the resurrection of the Lord, everything's new. My consciousness is new. My perception is new. My speech is new. I mean, I talk different. I walk different. I look different. I'm different. Everything about me is different. I'm no longer a brunette. I'm a blonde. It's just a parable anyway. It doesn't matter. It's what I'm describing to you is that I now have the likeness of Christ. And Christ was neither brunette or blonde, just so we all are understanding one another here. He is fire. He's the Word of God. He's a consuming fire. And man, we just don't understand what that means. We're going to get there, though. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Woohoo! I was talking to a gentleman on the phone the other night, and he talked about the man he wanted to become. He wanted to become the Christ man. Christ man. Until I called him the next day. Then he got to thinking about all night long what he would have to give up to become a Christ man. Do you know what? You don't give up anything. It's the old man. It's a nature that's not you anyway. It's a sinful, rotten, disgusting nature. And God just simply cuts it away so that the man that you have always been in him can now be made manifest and come forth in power. That's your Father. I mean, it's amazing what he's willing to, after all the way that we have lived, the riotous living that we have done as a prodigal son. And yet, he supplies all of our needs in glory to become the Son of God. Holding not one thing against us. There is not one sin that you have committed that God holds against you. Not one. He removes your sin. This is what it says in the book of Psalms, right? He removes your sin from you as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. That's the part we forget. He doesn't remember. He only knows who you are in him. Where the righteousness of God begins to overcome and overwhelm. That's why we get baptized. Because he overcomes and overwhelms our life with the righteousness of himself to where we remember our sin no more. That's a good place to be, right? For he that is dead is free from sin. Did you hear that? Why did you get baptized into Christ's death? To be made free from sin. God has championed himself in you. And if you will allow God to show you, he will show you how he has ordained the angels by the word of God to triumphantly raise you unto the Father. Wow. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Right? So, if I'm dead in Christ, then I also believe that I will live in Christ. For sure. I'm going to skip down now to where I want to finish some things for you tonight in this. And, I mean, all of this should be much for everyone to consider. I mean, I also quoted to you in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or translated by the renewing of your mind. How does your mind get renewed? By the word of God. So he hath given you the instruments to renew your mind so that you no longer think of yourself as the man of sin. You now think of yourself as the Son of God because you see the Son of God. There has been a translation in your mind by the word of God where you now see Jesus. And apostolically, they said they see him after the flesh. How? No more. They only see him by the Spirit, by the life that he is. That's why in Romans 8 it says it this way. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because I know that Jesus is spirit. He is not flesh. He is spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I mean, we're in three chapters now, and if we went and read the seventh chapter, well, let me read this one in the seventh chapter then. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I cannot find it. How come? What would cause me not to find it? Huh? The flesh. Absolutely. So as long as my mind is fixated on the body of flesh, my mind of flesh, can I find how to perform that which is good? No, but when somebody tells me about the troublers or the whatever, I can identify with it because that's who I am. You have sold yourself into the thought that you are sin, and you are not. And then when we're asked to testify of Jesus Christ, how do we do? We speak of sin. And then we realize when we make it manifest that I don't have a testimony. It's amazing, isn't it? We do have a testimony. We're just not giving our mind over to it. God's given it to you. Everything that we've read tonight is the pathway for the testimony of Jesus Christ to be formed in you by the word of God. What do we have to do to receive it? Believe. That's all that's required of you. And if you believe it, will you do what it says? Is that burdensome or is that a joy? It's a joy. It's a joy. Now listen to this. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but but under grace. Shall I read that again for you? Sin shall not have dominion over you. I told you last week that when God made covenant with Adam, right? He gave Adam authority over all flesh. Isn't that awesome? And what did Adam have to do in order to have authority over all flesh, have dominion over all flesh? Huh? Just obey the word of God. That's all he had to do. Amazing. How hard is it for us to obey the word of God? We make it hard because of what? The lust of our flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We make it hard. We like Gary would say, we like it, we love it, we want more of it. Talking about Cold Stone ice cream. And really, we can really, I mean, as a parable, not everybody's an ice cream lover like I am, but as in parable form, we can think of the things that we really like, and those are the things that we think that God is really asking us to give up because we lust after them. But those aren't the things that God is asking you to give up. He's asking you to give up or to forsake your life where your mind is bound in the sin of the world. That's what he's asking you to give up. Walk away from it. Be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We could quote that scripture all night long. What's the other one? Galatians 2:20, right? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I dare not frustrate the grace of God. Everything that we're saying makes those things so much more powerful, don't they? When we trust the Lord, believe God, knowing that we're his son, knowing that what he did on the cross, he accomplished the work for us forevermore, that if I just believe God and I submit to the word of God and I keep the sayings of Jesus Christ, I will reign with him in power. And my sin will not trouble me anymore. That's awesome. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So if I tell myself I'm the man of sin, what am I going to obey? You're going to obey sin. But if you believe that you're the Son of God, what are you going to obey? I'm going to believe the Word of God is making me into a son. That's what I'm going to believe. But God be thanked that you were, did you hear that? You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness. There is nothing that Jesus is going to tell you tonight that tells you you're a sinner. He already knew you were a sinner when he was sent into the world to save you from sin. He already knew it. He came to deliver you out of it, to tell you that you're something greater than you see yourself to be. I see you as something greater than you see yourself to be, because I have the testimony of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the Father. You are my sons, you are my daughters, saith the Lord. And everything that is of God, God hath given to me. I believe that. And I believe it for all of you. Love you much. It would be easy to go do something else with our lives. It's not going to happen. There is no other choice. We made our choice 40 years ago. I was 26 when I heard the scripture. And the day I heard the word of God is the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. That was the day. I believed God. And if God said that he had saved me and called me with a holy calling, I believed that that was true. I believed the word. And I believe it even more today than I did the day I received it. For the end of my salvation is closer now than the day I believed, I first believed. We should all have that testimony. We should all be able to confess the day that we heard the word of God and it awakened us to our sin. It awakened us to the Son of God that we might become the will of the Father. Can you say amen with me tonight? I hope so. Because God is the instrument of our praise. He's the threshing floor of our household. He is the joy of our heart. And he is the witness of the truth of every word that he has spoken. God witnesses it himself. He's the testator of his own will. And he's the keeper of every promise that he has made to each and every one of us. And we should all be so thankful for it. Amen. So I'm going to close with a song tonight. And I'm not going to sing it good. That's okay. That's because it's a simple song and everybody knows it. We've all sang it we sang it even in the Christian church. But it becomes, every time we grow in the grace of God, it becomes more applicable because we're being enlightened by the word of God to who he is in all of his glory. And so I'll just sing it for you tonight and you can do with it what you want. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. For the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. God bless you tonight. Love you all. Hope to see you all soon on Sunday.